In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When one experiences a great loss, a great grief, it often causes one to question. We, in our country, in the last probably couple decades, have experienced a number of catastrophes, and you would almost have to wonder what it would take to wake us up, because when we have something like what happened this past week, everybody wants to blame this or that other thing and talk about how we can fix it. But the problem that we have in this country is a spiritual problem. They didn't just invent semi-automatic rifles in the 1990s when you started seeing school shootings. We've had them in this country for quite some time. The difference is the spiritual state of this country, because we have people who... This has never been an Orthodox country in any sense of it being any kind of a majority of the population, but we did have people who grew up with a sense of the fear of God and the idea that you would go out and you would kill your fellow man for no reason was not something that the average person in this country would ever contemplate. Not to say that there were never any murders, but there was never anything like what we're seeing now. So the question we ought to ask as a country is, how did we get here? In the scriptures, we have a somewhat analogous example in the history of the people of Israel, though it's not quite gotten to that point. And let's pray God that we don't have to have something this catastrophic to wake us up as a country. But when the people of Judah saw their kingdom destroyed and the temple destroyed and burned to the ground and their people deported to a foreign land, as we heard in the last three Saturday evenings at the vigil, we hear that psalm, "By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept." They, as a people, had experienced this catastrophe, and they sat down by the waters of Babylon, and they began to ponder, how did we get here? Well, the theme of today's service also has someone who is left with a great loss, wondering, how did I get here? And that's Adam. Throughout the service, we have this image of Adam sitting outside the gates of paradise that he's been cast out from and weeping and pondering, how did I get here? We all know the story of the fall. God created man and woman and placed him in a garden. And St. John Chrysostom says that in this account that we read in Genesis 3, that there are certain things that are symbolic and certain things that are literal, but exactly which one is which is not always really clear, and we probably ought not to press, because the scriptures are conveying to us a truth that perhaps in some cases is beyond our ability to really fully comprehend. But they were in a garden, and they were in a state of perfect communion with God. I should not say perfect, because the fathers do teach that Adam and Eve, God's design was that they would grow in grace, and eventually that they would be able to taste of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they weren't ready. They had not reached that point. And the one command, the one restriction that God had placed on them was that they would fast from that one tree. Not that they would fast entirely. They had all the other trees in the garden that they could eat from, but that they abstained from that one tree. And they found themselves unable to do it, having been tempted by the devil. And we're told that when they ate of the fruit, it says the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" When you think about the results of the fall, Adam had this regular interaction with God. He was able to speak to God directly. And we're told that both he and Eve were naked and unashamed. And the fathers tell us that they were clothed with the glory of God. They could be truly themselves with God and truly themselves with each other. And there was no alienation. But the result of sin, the result of turning away from God, was fear when they heard that God was coming. Alienation and shame. And not just alienation with God, but alienation with one another. We not only see that in what follows, where Adam blames Eve, and then Eve blames the serpent. But we see that further on in the next chapter when we read about the first murder, their first two sons, one kills another one. What a grief to a parent, particularly to parents who had never experienced death and didn't even really understand what it was, to not only have a child that died of natural causes, but to have a child that was killed by another child, and then to have that child cursed and separated from you for the rest of their lives. That had to be very painful, but all of this was a result of this choice to turn away from God. They had lost that divine glory. They had lost that sense of innocence, and they could no longer be themselves, and they had this bent towards sin, and their children had it as well. And they couldn't endure to be in God's presence, which is why they hid and tried to not allow God to see who they were. The fathers tell us that God allowed them to hear him coming, not because God literally walks, they say, but because God wanted to give them a sense that he was on his way, to give them a sense of anguish, to allow their consciences to do their work to accuse them. And if Adam and Eve had come clean and confessed, saying a friend, the Syrian says that even then God would have forgiven them and they would not have been cast out of the garden. But they lied and didn't tell the truth. They didn't come clean. Also, one important thing to note here is that God could have came simply to destroy them, because that's what he had told them would be the result if they ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. But God didn't do that. Why did he come? He came because they had a spiritual wound, and he came to apply the remedy to that wound at its earliest stage before it became fully infected and destroyed them completely. And he asked, "Where art thou? Where are you?" It's not because God didn't know where they were. It's because God wanted Adam and Eve to ponder where they were. How did they get to the state? Why are they hiding from God? How far have they fallen? Also, God didn't wait for them to come to him. He came to them. And that is what Lent is all about. Lent is a time for us to ask the question, where are we? Where are we spiritually? Have we ever been closer to God than we are now? And if that's true, why are we not at least at that same state now? Why have we gotten further away from God? And if we've never been close to God, why is that? And even those of us who maybe are making progress in the spiritual life, if we haven't attained the point where we have regular communion with God like the saints, there's always more room for repentance. There's more room for us to turn to God and come to him in a more full sense. We have to become aware of our own spiritual nakedness. But instead of hiding from God out of fear and allowing ourselves to be immersed in the weeds of all the cares of this life so that we don't have to really confront ourselves with the reality of our own spiritual state, we need to become aware of where we really are and to turn to him and to come clean and confess our sins. Also in the services, we have a contrary image. Adam fell because he didn't abstain from food, and he broke God's law. But in the services, they compare him with the prophet Moses, who fasted for 40 days, and he communed with God, and he received God's law by divine inspiration. And so in the services, we're encouraged to follow the example of Moses, and we hear throughout Lent the example of not only of Moses, who fasted for 40 days, but the prophet Elijah, and also of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ himself. We are to follow their example. In the last stikiron of the praises last night, we heard this hymn. Adam was driven out of paradise because in disobedience he had eaten food. But Moses was granted the vision of God because he had cleansed the eyes of his soul by fasting. If then we long to dwell in paradise, let us abstain from all needless food. And if we desire to see God, let us, like Moses, fast for 40 days. With sincerity, let us persevere in prayer and intercession. Let us still the passions of our soul. Let us subdue the rebellious instincts of the flesh. With light step, let us set out upon the path to heaven, where the choirs of angels with never silent voices sing the praises of the undivided Trinity. and there we shall behold the surpassing beauty of the Master. O Son of God, giver of life, in thee we set our hope. Count us worthy of a place there with the angelic host, at the intercessions of the Mother who bore thee, O Christ, of the apostles and the martyrs, and of all the saints. Amen.